Hello, and welcome to Gaze on Film. This podcast is where we, a pair of gays, talk about what we're watching. I am Declan.
And I'm Ned.
And in this episode, we'll be leaving the world behind as we discuss Netflix's recent psychological thriller, Leave the World Behind.
Did you come up with that yourself?
Didn't you come up with that?
Did I?
I think I did. You did. Oh, well. Anyway, remember, there will be spoilers once we get to the headline feature, so as always, do proceed with caution. But first, before all that, I'd like to know what you've been watching, King.
Do you know, honestly, not that much yet.
What's the last normal episode we did?
Chicken Run, I think.
Yeah. What have we been doing then?
Oh, just... I lose track of the days over, like, Christmas, New Year period. And I don't know what's been in the water this January, but I just cannot switch myself on. So I've barely watched anything. But I did watch Emperor's New Groove this week, which was one of my, like, Disney video collections when I was growing up. So nostalgia factor, obviously. But it was so much fun. I think it's doing well, not aging badly at all.
That was the Disney period, though, where people say Disney lost it a bit.
I don't know who's saying this.
I think it's because they weren't, like, the out and out. It wasn't Little Mermaid.
Is it just because it wasn't princesses?
No, it's just that it wasn't the out and out absolute classics that people still are so pop. Like, I don't really know, but I can understand what they mean. It's not, as I say, Little Mermaid, Lion King, what else? Beauty and the Beast. Like, they've all gone on and done all sorts, like, stage productions.
Yeah.
Massive in popular culture, whereas they lost it for a bit.
Try and tell, like, me. Give me a gay who was born in the 90s that doesn't often say, pull the lever.
No, I know. But there's, like, this. I remember there's Dinosaur, Chicken Little.
Yeah.
Treasure Planet. People were like... Whilst they were very good, they were still good films. I think it was a period where people look back and said Disney World wasn't quite at the best, which I actually think people will look back at the current period that we're in and say Disney aren't at the best.
If people were disappointed, then God help them.
What Disney films haven't you liked recently? You liked them all?
What, all of these live action remakes?
No, not the live action. I mean the animated ones.
Oh, the animated ones, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You liked Strange World, and you were very much in the minority with that one.
Strange World was good.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the only other one I've watched is Good Grief, but we're going to do an episode on that, so I will keep stum.
Yeah, it's not going to be coming out for another couple of weeks because we are on holiday and we like to give people the chance to watch it. But we did also finish Fellow Travellers last night, which took us forever, which is very me and Ned, an 8-episode TV show to take
honestly,
us like, especially if they're an hour long episode. That's gonna
really, really good.
Was very good. I like how, I think we spoke about it before, but how we saw.
Are we gonna do an episode on it?
I'd like to maybe do one further down the line, and I'd like to maybe one of my podcasting goals is to try and get more interviews as well with people involved in some of these, especially the queer kind of TV and film.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of dropped off because we've just been so busy.
Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I've watched. What about you?
But yeah, we'd very much recommend Fellow Travellers. I've watched not that much more. I mean, I've just said it takes us ages to watch telly, although this isn't exactly the same. This is not cinematic television. This is not anything storytelling. This is Amanda Holden and Alan Carr doing up a house in Italy. But
it's really fun.
Amanda and Alan's Italian Job is so much fun. I actually preferred it, I think, way more than the first season as well. I feel like I laughed loads more at this one. I remember finding the other one funny.
Maybe it's because we watched it together.
Well, I said as well that how we can't watch TV quick, but we watched all 8 episodes of this in pretty much an evening.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as...
We did have a do-nothing day yesterday.
No, and the thing is, it's not the same as, like, Fellow Travellers. You've got to, you know...
You've got to sit and pay attention.
You've got to pay attention, whereas this, you can get up and do stuff and you know, do chores and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I also finished the third season of Slow Horses, again, which is just phenomenal TV. I would literally recommend it to anyone. If I know somebody who's watched Slow Horses, I feel like we have, like, this other connection that don't have with
people that
don't.
You bond over Slow Horses.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also, this is doing phenomenally on ITV. Now, I went to watch episode one of Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. But it wasn't very clear on iPlayer what was the TV show and what was the one-hour documentary. So it turns out I'd watched the one-hour documentary. Very harrowing story that I think some people are aware of, but I think it the reason they've done it is they need to get the word out there to everybody.
It's quite the scandal, isn't it?
It is, and it seems to be all in the news now, and the victims seem to be getting taken a lot more seriously since this show as well.
Yeah.
It was, like, mentioned on Laura Koonsberg this morning. Ooh. As we record on a Sunday.
Wow.
So I watched the documentary, which is probably what I shouldn't have done. I think I should have probably watched the show and then watched the documentary, because I feel like I've seen it and know all the story now, so I'm not going to waste 4 hours on the actual show.
I don't know if that's necessary.
It's not a waste. It's not a good choice of words.
That doesn't feel like
I just feel like there's so much telly. I know the story now.
Yeah.
Maybe you watch the TV show.
How many episodes is it?
And then we'll compare. Four. Yeah.
I'll try.
Until about April.
Yeah, I'm sure I can manage that.
But
maybe I'll watch it on the plane. Download it on my phone.
Yeah.
I could do that. Hey, the wonders of technology. Take TV anywhere.
We can.
Yeah.
You can download ITV on the plane.
I thought it was on iPlayer.
No.
Doesn't ITV have the app?
It has an app. I just wasn't sure if you could download it. And now the next question you're going to ask me is what's in the news. Now, I'm not going to do it.
Because just refuse.
No, because we're recording this on the 7th of January. I don't think a lot of news was happening last week. Again, because everyone wasn't properly back at work and Hollywood wasn't firing on all cylinders. And to lift the curtain a little bit, audience, we are recording quite a few episodes back to back today.
Just so we don't leave you
missing us whilst we're in Mexico.
Pining for us while we're on holiday.
So there's not much going on, so I thought I wouldn't bother.
Fair enough. Well, what a time we've had. But now it's time to cast our minds into the future and get excited for what's coming up in the world of TV and film. It's time now for Trailer Trash or Treasure. What have we got this time?
We have got The First Omen, which is a prequel to the original 76 film, I think. It's one of these...
As in 1976.
Yeah, it's one of these horror films where they're slotting a prequel into the... before the first classic. And I think I haven't seen this trailer, but from what I've heard about the film is there's somebody goes to a church and discovers a conspiracy of some people trying to birth the Antichrist, which is obviously what then happens in The Omen. So I've not seen it. So we're going to leave the link in the show notes. If you'd like to pause it and watch along and then come back, you can, and we'll see you straight after the sparkles.
What do you think?
It's very much a teaser trailer.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't give you a whole lot. There's a lot of shots played in reverse.
I think quite a lot of the trailer is in reverse.
Yeah.
I always like a horror film that's got kind of religious connotation attached to it.
Sometimes I get a little bit Catholic horror fatigue.
Yeah, I get what you mean. But I do think it looks quite well shot and quite menacing.
Yeah.
And I think it does a good thing that a trailer should do where, as you say,
yeah,
doesn't give too much away.
I'll be interested to see Bill Nighy in a horror role.
Yeah. The main character is Nell Tiger Free, who I saw in M. Night Shyamalan's Servant. She was the main character in that for 4 or 5 seasons, however long that lasted.
Mm.
She also played Marcella Baratheon, which I totally didn't clock.
Game of Thrones.
She must have been quite a bit younger. But yeah, I think it looks fairly promising.
Yeah, I mean, had you not told us what the film was before we just watched the trailer, I'm not sure I'd have got any of it from it. But from the trailer, I think it looks like it'll be quite a good film.
It could go either of two ways.
Like,
it could
either go like that
The Exorcist remake.
Yeah.
Or it could be like what one was good.
Yeah.
Like, could come back as fresh as the new Screams. It could go either of two ways.
I'm not sure I'd put it in the same bucket as Scream.
No, I didn't really. I was just trying to think of a legacy horror
that's
come out.
Put yourself on the spot, didn't you?
It. That was good.
Yeah.
put yourself on the spot.
It!
It! Out in this country on the 5th of April.
Trash or treasure?
Treasure for me.
Yeah.
I think it does what a trailer should do.
Yeah.
And...
I think I would agree. It's nothing mind-blowing, but it's not... It's enticed me, piqued my interest.
And we're going to see more before it's released,
well,
aren't
exactly.
we? So, yeah.
Grand.
Great stuff.
Well, now it's time for this week's headline feature. Leave the World Behind, coming up right after this quick break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Leave the World Behind.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got a synopsis before we get
in? I have,
yeah.
Yep.
Go on then.
Okay. Amanda is sick of the stresses of city life and books an impromptu weekend away for her, her husband and their two kids. All is beautiful and idyllic until, on the first night, there's a knock at the door. It's a father and daughter claiming this to be their home.
Yes. Fairly good one.
Reasonable. I think that's enough to get you interested without giving away any of the plot.
Well, I think what I want to start with at the top here is that this film has been incredibly divisive amongst critics. I think audiences have in general quite liked it, but I will preface this with... this is not going to be the most glowing of reviews from Ned and I about this film. I will just say that. I found the film incredibly frustrating. Actually, let me just say, critics were a bit divided, but it did end up with a 75% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Did it?
But its audience score is 34%. So general audiences actually aren't liking it.
No.
So
I must say I would probably give it about a 35%. In fact, no, I think in my star rating I was ever so slightly more generous than that, but not
slightly,
not by much.
I think for me, and I can't really describe it, it's going to be quite a difficult one to describe why I didn't like it. I just feel like it was a very technically well-made film. But it's very incredibly
production.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's shot well. Like,
yeah, it's cut together quite well.
And even like the color palette and the music, like it's all. But
I really like the score.
Yeah, all the ideas it tries to do though,
it just packed way too much in to the thing. Should we just like say the conclusion and work back? Because I feel like.
If that's how you would like to do
Otherwise,
it,
I'm just going to end up doing like piecemeal spoilers that are going to make no sense.
Mm.
So we're starting from the end and working backwards, listeners. So if you haven't watched it and you do care about spoilers, probably stop now and watch it first. Basically, it turns out that whatever conspiracy people believe about who controls the money in the world is not a million miles from the truth. And this guy who is the father of the daughter who came knocking on the door is some sort of like financial, like wealth manager type person. He catches wind that some of his clients have worked out that the most profitable thing that they could do is incite a military coup in the wealthiest country in the world. So what we see is the beginnings of that coup happening across this weekend that
But Julia that's Roberts still a hypothesis, though. It's not 100% that it's a coup.
There it is.
It's not.
Well, what else could it, what else is it?
The end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, though.
But that is the fact that they kind of come to this conclusion that it's a military coup and forcing America to go in on itself. But it's that's not taken as a fact either.
Well, you do have to trust that the writing is designed to tell you that stuff. And there's no other reason.
Well, I know for a fact from reading
what
about this film that it's not certain that it's a coup.
I mean, then what's the fucking point?
Well, I think that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It's like, I think it's quite interesting at times where it's like, if shit goes down and if you think about it.
Yeah.
We don't have access to phones or TV or we can't watch the news, you will be wondering about what actually is happening.
Yeah.
So they go through loads of different things about, I don't know, it's an Arab country doing something, it's a microwave weapon, it's all this kind of stuff. But we don't actually properly know what it is. Because if it was a coup as well, right at the end, Amanda and Ruth, the characters, see New York City getting bombed.
Yeah.
Still, that doesn't necessarily say it's a coup.
Well, then I don't know what else to say. This is going to be a really short episode.
I don't know why you hung up on that part of it.
Well, because that's the only, like, bit of writing that we have anything to go off. It doesn't
GH, who is played by Mahershala Ali, hypothesizes to Clay and Archie.
Yeah.
Clay's Ethan Hawke and Archie's the son, who's he hypothesizes that the country's in the midst of a 3-stage military coup.
Yeah.
Campaign that will culminate in a coup d'etat. Coup d'etat?
Coup d'etat, yeah.
So, but it's not, it's still a hypothesis.
All right.
You seem annoyed.
I just... Well, I feel like that's the only thing I've got to go off, and now I haven't got anything to go off. So I'm just annoyed that this is even a thing now. I don't get the point in a film that doesn't even have a point to make.
The only genuine point I thought it had to make, which is quite weird for it to be on Netflix, is the importance of physical media.
Well, yeah.
Because there's that through line where the daughter has been watching Friends on DVD. No, streaming.
She's been streaming Friends.
And then obviously the internet goes down, she can't finish it. She's got two episodes or one last episode. I thought that was quite an interesting through line all the way through. And then at the end she finds a bunker where they've got loads of DVD, like almost like a doomsday bunker, and they've got loads of DVDs. But I thought, oh, Netflix showing how important physical media is. Obviously, this film will have gone into development, not necessarily
knowing.
Hang on,
so the point of importance of physical media is so that she can watch Friends?
No, there's just this through line and message about physical media, about having DVDs and things. Because when the internet goes down, you can't do it. And I just thought it was interesting that a film that lives on Netflix has that in it.
I get that point. I still don't think it really made much of a case for the importance of physical media if the only thing they managed to achieve in the supposed apocalypse is that she could finish Friends. You know what I mean? Like,
you seem really like...
I'm quite annoyed at this film, actually, and I have been every time I've tried to speak about it. So I do apologise if I get my back up about it.
I think it's all style, no substance.
Well,
I think the performances are good. I always love to see Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali.
Mm.
Ethan Hawke is good in it.
Yeah, I think everyone
Ruth,
did.
Ruth, who was played by
everyone did Mahala, quite a fine job.
Mahala. Everyone does fine. It's just the ideas. So throughout this film, we've got the oil tanker crash where you're like, oh, something's going on, right? Mm. You have George and Ruth showing up at the Airbnb. What it's saying it's their house, but the Airbnb.
Yeah.
But something about them turning up doesn't feel right. It's weird. It's like them turning up brings in all these kind of racial home invasion type things when you think it might go down that route, but turns out it totally doesn't.
Let me tell you this before we get too many of these examples. I know where you're going. If, listeners, you are partial to a bit of edging, you're going to love this film because it's never ending. No relief, builds the tension, holds it, and then does nothing with it. And then you're just sort of expected to forget it and move on to the next time it starts to build the tension, holds it, and does nothing with it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
You've got the animals.
There's no climax.
About stuff.
There's loads of, not crescendo, but the bit before the crescendo.
Yeah.
And then there's no climax.
Yeah. I think... And then it weirdly goes into a scene where... So Julia Roberts' character is a bit kind of jaded and doesn't really trust the world. So when GH and Ruth show up, she's quite confrontational with them and doesn't really trust them. But then the film, about two-thirds of the way through, does this weird scene where Amanda and GH start dancing down in the basement together and being a bit flirty. And then Ruth and... Claire, she starts asking him really inappropriate questions, like, have you ever thought about fucking me or something?
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this film doing? And I think I've said it felt like it just put a lot of generic, in air quotes, beginning of the world ending scenes together and kind of tried to come up with a film.
Yeah, yeah, I think that makes sense. Just like even bits like that, like ideas that are kind of, yeah, okay, they were present in the writing room, but they could really have been edited out. Like, was it Ethan Hawke at some point said, oh, I'm just a pathetic man, like I'm useless without my GPS and Wi-Fi. Like, I don't think you need to say that when you've kind of already demonstrated it. We already know that without Wi-Fi and GPS and stuff,
was this like one of those
we would all fall
see
apart.
See it, don't say it.
Yeah, yeah, like, it just seems a silly thing. No one's going to say that.
I'm a pathetic man without Wi-Fi.
Oh, I'm just a pathetic man.
Well, one of the things I've said about this, so this was directed and written by Sam Esmail. I think it was directed quite well, but I think the downsides of it is quite a badly written adaptation / screenplay.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. This is another thing that annoys me about it as well, is on paper... I like the concept, like I like the ideas, I like the themes it's got going on, or it tries to get going on. And then I watched it and I was like, I don't care about that I think I'm supposed to care about. I've noticed this, that'll probably come up later. Oh look, here it is. And then there were a lot of things that came along and were either implausible or just didn't make sense. Like they were questions that didn't get answered, but not to the point where it left you thinking, just to the point where it left you irritated, or it left me irritated anyway.
Well, I think after all that as well, like all the non-fully fleshed out ideas, the fact that the film ends on a cliffhanger as well feels like a fucking slap in the face.
Yeah.
She turns on the Friends DVD.
Yeah.
We don't know if a family find her. Like, I know sometimes you should leave an ending open for interpretation.
There is open to interpretation and there's
But if the film had actually done more to... And being a bit better with some of the ideas that it brought into it.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have minded, but it was just like, you go through all, I guess what you said there about all these like crescendos up and down, thinking it's going to go build to something, or it doesn't. Yeah. And then for it to kind of build at the end and then it just cut.
It just keeps
you're
on.
You're just like, oh.
It keeps right. on not doing anything until it's finished not doing anything, that it's done nothing.
It was a bit long as well for a film like that. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It was 2 hours and 20 minutes, which I don't mind long films, but I did feel the length.
Yeah.
With this one.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of scenes I actually quite liked, so I'll try to be a bit positive here. I did like the oil tanker scene, because that was right at the beginning.
That was before I was frustrated with it.
Yeah, and we didn't really know what was happening, and I thought that's actually quite a good way to introduce the world ending. Like, I've not seen a menacing, like, oh, that's getting closer to us.
Yeah.
What's good? Like, I try and think about what would be going on in your head. If you were on that beach, you'd be like, this is all getting a bit weird, and you'd start to question what's going on.
Yeah.
And then if the telly went off, like, I thought the early stages of it were quite interesting.
Yeah. I can get on board with that. That's fair.
Now, another scene I thought was, this was when I was starting to get frustrated at the film, but I thought this film was quite, I thought this scene was quite original, was the self-driving Teslas all crashing into each other.
I did like that film. Yeah. That part, actually.
So they get a bit fed up, the family, so they decide to get out of the rental, intending to drive to Amanda's sister in New Jersey, which is only down the road for America. But they get to a highway jammed with cars, and then you start noticing, oh, they're all Teslas. So it's like,
and they're all self-driving Teslas.
So they've all been called to that point, something or like something. That. But so then there's a bit of an action scene where they have to
dodge a load of Teslas.
Reversing, yeah. Where there's loads of them coming up the highway, and yeah. I did think that was quite a good scene. I thought for a modern,
yeah,
like
for
it,
a film
it brought
where
in something a bit new, because that's modern technology, and obviously as these things come into, you know, like when I always remember, what was that for Us, when Us used, it was either like I don't want to say it in case I triggered them, to play the music in the house where the people got stabbed. Mm-hmm. I like when tech comes into the world, and then a couple of years down the line, it's used as a bit of a storytelling device in the film.
Yeah.
And I always quite like that, and I thought, well, that's quite new, because no one's used Teslas in this way so far.
Yeah,
films.
No, that was quite a fun
or
one.
Or self-driving cars.
That was possibly the only thing
paid.
That actually happened in this film.
I wonder if they were like, yeah, we'll have product promotion. Crash a load of our cars, why don't you? I also want to comment on the fact who the production company that is behind this. You know?
No.
Higher Ground Productions.
Give me something else to go on. What else?
Barack and Michelle Obama's production company.
I didn't know they had one.
This is their fourth feature film. And people were making a bit of a, they were making a bit of a deal. I think in the trailer it said, like, produced by these two. So a lot of what they do is for Netflix. I think they signed a first look deal with them a while ago. They did another film, which is I've not seen yet, but I really do want to watch Rustin.
Is a first look deal where
it's like
you get first refusal. We make this thing. Do you want it? And if you say no, then
and
we'll
I think
show it
sometimes it works the other way. Like Netflix will say, we'd like you to develop, go into development with this project as
right.
well.
Okay.
So I think they were paid an absolute small fortune for it as well. But wow. I quite like. I think a lot of what their projects are probably trying to do is comment on society and the planet.
Well, this is the thing. Like,
and it tries to.
I do like that kind of comment, because it does quite well at demonstrating just how much we rely on connectivity.
Mm.
Like, not just individually by watching, like, Friends, but how navigation systems are all done, and how financial systems are all done online, and just everything is very digital. So it does kind of, it's quite an interesting thought experiment on right, if the internet suddenly wasn't on, what actually would happen in all of these different frames?
I think people as well get hung up on digital going down first, because it would massively affect things, but like, what do people say? Like, oh, well, you know, if digital goes down, I won't be able to pay for anything. I'm like, well, if the world's ended, it doesn't really matter if you can pay for anything anyway. It doesn't really matter if you're paying cash or card. The world has ended. Like, doesn't really matter in this respect. I can maybe understand when a small part of tech goes down and people say, well, if we hadn't been digital, we'd been... What's the...
Analog.
We could have still done it. Like... I don't know, if an NHS system goes down, if they were still analogue, they could have still operated. I understand that. But in a world-ending situation, it doesn't really matter what goes down, because it's all gone down.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily matter that you can't use your bank card, but it does matter that the planes drop out of the sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the navigation and stuff. Or oil tankers run onto beaches.
But, yeah...
Yeah, so this is where, actually, I think the first time I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, with this film, and then I just kind of kept feeling, oh, for fuck's sake.
Is that when he survived that plane coming down?
Just before that, and then that happened. What's his name? GH.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, after the kind of uncomfortable night, GH goes to his neighbours to see, like, if anything's happening for them. Like, is this just us? Is it starting to really kick off? And his neighbours are not in the house, but everything's a little bit dishevelled. And he's like, oh, what is going on? Walks through, out to the back.
It's a bit more than dishevelled.
Goes to the beach, and he sees something glinting in the sand. And he picks it up, and it is a watch face still attached to the watch, which is worn on the arm that is no longer attached to the body, that has dropped out of a plane, like has been thrown out of a massive plane crash, which he is surrounded by. And I'm like, no way is the first thing you notice a watch face that's half buried in the sand.
If you weren't expecting to see a plane and you were just focusing on what you see right in front of you.
But everything was right in front of him. The plane was right in front of him.
Like there was an engine on the beach. Like
It was like, oh, there's this watch face. Oh, there's another piece of debris here. Oh, I've come round these trees and I've suddenly found this plane crash. That makes sense. But he did not. He looked at
There was literally an engine in front of him.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, what's happening? And another plane comes down and starts to crash. And he runs back into the house. This plane crashes into the water, causes a massive wave, which like hits the house just as he closes the door. And then it cuts to the next scene.
Yeah, doesn't it cut away from him as well? And I was like, why is like, well, what's cutting happening? Away from everything? Like,
exactly.
And he just comes back to the rental house.
And he's just like, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm a bit wet. I went for a swim.
I know. Yeah.
No. And so it lost me from there. And then just things kept not happening. And then things that didn't make sense kept happening as well. The other one, which really irritated me, was when they went to... is it Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
His house.
Yeah.
Because the brother, his teeth suddenly start falling out, which is a bit gross.
I didn't like. Yeah. I mean,
that's fine. I can put up with it. Yeah, it's a bit gross. Whatever. His teeth start falling out. They get concerned that it's like an infection or something. Don't know what's causing it. Need to go to this neighbour who everybody knows is a doomsday prepper. Hoping that he's got some antibiotics or something. I'm like, first off, you don't know that it's an infection that needs antibiotics, so why are you trying to get antibiotics? Seems like a waste of, I don't know, maybe you're panicking. I can get over that. Then they're having this big standoff with Kevin Bacon, where he's literally got a shotgun in their face, which is when I think the I'm just a pathetic man without GPS, please can I have some pills for my son, comes out. But then Kevin Bacon's explaining his theory behind why everything's going on, and there's this weird noise thing that keeps like deafening them. That keeps just randomly happening. Which again, I don't mind if it's unexplained at this point, but I would hope to know what it is at some point later on. He's like, oh yeah, so when other things have happened around the world, this noise has been causing weird things to happen with people's bodies, like people lose their hair, people lose their teeth, blah blah blah. So his theory about what's happening to the brother is that these noises are causing his tooth loss. And then they have this big standoff with the guns, like, can we just have these pills though? Even though they've already kind of answered the fact that these pills probably aren't going to stop his teeth falling out. I just don't get the point.
Okay. I was reading about the development of this as well, and it said like how it wants to delve into the complexities of race, class and family dynamics, mirroring the chaos of the world,
yeah,
of a world on the brink of collapse. And they also said it was quite interesting that it was in the Hamptons, because it's like an extravagant place and it's a bit weird when the characters find it a bit strange that black homeowners arrive at this house, because they presume that you've got to be white to own a house like that kind of thing.
Right.
I get what it was going for.
Yeah.
But it didn't do it very well.
I mean, it touched on it.
There was touches, but it wasn't like...
This is what I mean. Like, there are lots of themes in there that could have been, like, really good to explore, good to develop. I like all of the ideas that were there. I just think to put them all into one film, it's very difficult for that film to not be messy or to do what it's trying to do successfully. And unfortunately for me, the mess just unraveled.
I'm interested, I'm not going to, but I would maybe like to read the book to see if the book was better. Because quite a few people have said all the changes that they've made have made it worse.
Yeah, I did. If somebody
I'm
got me the
keep
book,
an eye on
I would look out
Obama's,
for reading it.
Because he include, have you seen where Obama does this like end of year where he posts his favourite books, songs, shows, films that he's watched on his Instagram? This was one of his, in his 2021 summer reading list.
Like, is that
includes lists?
Is that like a cynical?
No,
like,
I think
just made this film. Why don't you watch it?
What I genuinely think probably for him is if he reads a book he likes and someone's not developing it, he might try and develop it.
Ah,
so
cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah, other than like, if we carry on talking it, all I'm just going to do is rant about different scenes, so I might as well stop now.
So my star rating for this was 2.5.
Mine was 2.
Would you go any lower sometimes? No.
No.
It looked nice.
It had good ideas in there. The acting was... Everyone did a good job. I liked the score. A couple of good scenes. Just overall, I found it a really frustrating film to watch. So the work was in there, and there was some quality stuff there. The end product just did not cut it for me, so that's why it's 2, not lower.
Cool. Well, now let's unsheath the Gaydar. It's a wonderful piece of machinery devised by Ned's own hand, and we use it to rank all of the films and TV we discuss based on their LGBTQ+ appeal. Let's see where the Gaydar ranks Leave the World Behind.
I remembered the Gaydar today.
You did.
Okay, so unsurprisingly, kind of bottom half of the table, we are lower than The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, remake.
And higher, ever so slightly, than John Wick 4. But I'm not sure I might put that lower.
Were there any queer characters in it? Not that we know of.
Nothing was said. No.
What's the lowest of the lowest film on our list so far?
Interstellar.
Tell me the next couple up.
Killers of the Flower Moon, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny.
See, I'd put it amongst those bottom three.
Think it's... All right, yeah.
I don't think this film has inherently got any queer appeal whatsoever. not saying that you can't watch it, obviously, but when we're talking on this kind of talking point, I just don't think it's... There's nothing about it that's remotely
queer. Not there for that.
So...
Okay, fair enough.
There's nothing really to comment on. There's no... I can't even try and grasp at straws and be like, oh, well, this bit was queer-coded. It just nothing was. So, but that's fine. It just for this... Yeah. Part of the topic of our podcast.
I have found it really exhausting talking about it, actually.
Well, the next episode we're doing, which is a time capsule episode, will be a bit more fun.
Be much better. Great.
And that's all for this time. If you have enjoyed this episode of Gaze on Film, please subscribe, rate and comment on your podcasting platform of choice. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We are at Gaze on Film Pod. And check out our Letterboxd accounts, links of which are in the... Links of which are in the show notes. We'd love to hear your thoughts, so please do feel free to drop us a message. Although, if you did like this film, I'm not sure Ned would cope with those messages. But anyway, I have been Declan.
And I have been Ned.
And this has been Gaze on Film. Thanks for listening. Bye!
I was in another world then.
You didn't even say bye?
Bye!